Mike Cerulli. And again, if you like politics and you follow things in Connecticut, Capital Report, the tip sheet, it's every Monday morning. It's a sort of really interesting read about what's going on. State Capitol, usually the lead story, and then some other nuggets. It's written by Mike Cerulli, political reporter at WTNH, and obviously of Capital Report. He joins us now on Brian and Company. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Brian. Great to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. I appreciate the insight. So, Governor Lamont, before I get to some of my favorite questions of the day with Governor Lamont, it seems like he sort of shifted his public appearances and approach in the backdrop of the new Trump administration. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm seeing is a pretty familiar picture from the governor. Last week, he came out and was seated at that long conference table that we all remember from the pandemic when he was seated there with a TV screen behind him and some of his top officials seated beside him talking about the impacts of the Trump administration on the state so far. And, you know, I think it's really a signal from him that, A, he wants to kind of take control of the narrative. We've seen a lot of Democratic politicians, and particularly Attorney General William Tong, Senator Murphy, trying to, you know, establish a foothold in their fight against the president. And now we're seeing the governor take his sort of footing here as well. And it's a very familiar footing. It's one that arguably underpins the high approval rating he has maintained since the pandemic. So the joke I kind of make about it is, look, you can't go to a Bruce Springsteen concert without hearing Born to Run. You can't see Billy Joel without Piano Man, because they know that the hits work. That's what the crowd wants to see. And the governor, obviously, you know, big music fan, is taking some of that advice. And a question that I pose in the tip sheet is, look, in this environment, is the crowd going to sing along with him as he tries to, you know, play some of the hits again, Brian?
Yeah, and so it's clearly, in your opinion, a conscious decision to change the way he's doing his public appearances. And it leads to the question, really, I mean, the 60% plus approval rating, you think this is a bit of a tip of the hand maybe to whether he's going to run again or not?
You know, it's really hard to say. I think it's certainly, he's certainly giving thought to what's worked for him in the past. And I don't want to discount the fact that he's also probably genuinely trying to communicate about a pretty uncertain time, whether it be on tariffs or the federal pullbacks of grant money or the impending federal budget, which could very well see pretty deep cuts, as is the Trump administration's goal. So there's a legitimate purpose behind this, but there might also be a political purpose, which is to kind of reclaim the narrative, and not just from the president, but also, you know, you think about the style of press conference we've seen from Attorney General Tong. You know, that's really not the governor's style to be a very confrontational, you know, pounding his fist on a lectern. So I look at this as also him sort of reclaiming a narrative for himself from within inside his own party. He's trying to find, you know, his stance relative to the other Connecticut Democrats, some of whom seem more willing to, you know, put on the boxing gloves and sort of stare down Washington.
You know, he said the end of the session he'd make his decision known. That's only 3 months, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there's obviously already a lot of activity on the Republican side. There are a ton of Democrats who would love to know, you know, if they're going to be spending the next year on the road campaigning for governor, or whether or not they're going to be spending the next year campaigning for Ned Lamont. So I think, you know, it's the topic of conversation almost constantly at the Capitol.
Yeah.
I was talking with a member of the governor's team yesterday, and I was joking how, you know, basically everything that the governor does is now read into. You know, he could go to Capitol lunch for a hot dog and people will look at the toppings and say, what does what does chili say about the decision to run or not, right?
Right. You know, you got Bicewicz, Tong, Scanlon, Bronin, any number of Democrats who are sort of waiting in the wings on this decision. But I'm curious about the Republican side, and you also write about that this week. We're talking with Mike Cerulli from WTNH, and he writes the tip sheet every Monday for Capitol Report. I'm curious about I know that she says how much she's raised and this. And how is fundraising going for Aaron Stewart? Because I hear from, and she's going to be speaking in Stamford soon, I think, too. I think a lot of people are waiting to see if she can pull off the numbers that she said she was going to, because there are some questions about her ability to pull in big money.
Yeah, you know, remember when we're talking about virtually all of the Republicans in the race right now, and that would basically encapsulate maybe two or three names, Aaron Stewart being one, Jen Tucker, the first Lekman of Westport, being another, Peter Lumage, attorney from Fairfield, being another. You know, Matt Corey has an exploratory campaign as well. But what Aaron and them are trying to do is qualify for the state system of public campaign financing. So it's not just that she's looking to raise a bulk number. She needs to demonstrate on a limit of, you know, $200 or $300 per donor, she needs to raise a few a few hundred thousand dollars to show the state, basically, that she can get that support. And then after that, she will receive a grant of a few million dollars.
Right, but how is it going for her, in your opinion, what you see in the people you talk to? Has it been, you know, she's raised over $100,000 something, but has it been
$132,000, which is pretty strong. But there's a saying kind of, you know, in this very niche world that the first quarter's pretty good. It's everyone you know, everyone's maxing out,
right,
you know, hitting the donation limit. It's the next three quarters where it's going to be like, all right, the next 132,000 might be very challenging. And so, you know, it's a good showing. We don't really have a lot to compare it to in recent times because the last two campaigns have been dominated by someone and multiple people. In the case of the 2018 campaign, who self-funded, just wrote themselves a check out of their own wealth.
Right.
But, you know, the last time this did happen, there were people who raised around what she raised. So, you know, it's not necessarily a, you know, knock it out of the ballpark. No one's ever seen anything like this. And it's also, you know, not, you know, she's also probably, I would say she's met the expectation for a candidate who's considered in the top tier of potential Republicans to run for governor.
Yeah, I mean, I get along great with Mayor Stewart, and I take no sides. I thought it could have been more. You know, I mean, I feel like it's going to be interesting to hit that 300,000 and when it'll happen. Mike Cerulli, WT, that's just my opinion. WTNH. And,
yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Capitol Report. The budget is, and again, it's weird that maybe it's because I'm getting old, but I'm really fascinated by this budget battle because nobody knows what's going to happen with Medicaid and the federal government, and yet they still need a budget by, you know, the end of June. What do you think is going to happen with this, you know, the quote-unquote guardrails or the $1.4 billion? I mean, we had a lot of conversation. I talked to Chris Keating yesterday about it, and the Democrats clearly want to free up money to spend. I mean, is the state going to fill any and all gaps in federal spending down to the town level? I mean, towns and cities are freaking out because they don't know what's going to happen, and the only option they have is to raise property taxes. So what do you think of the budget battle?
Yeah, I think the big question will be, to what level do they go in and change these fiscal guardrails? The most common idea in the legislature is, hey, you know, typically what the state does is it takes $1 billion or so of what you just could simply call surplus cash, and it sends it straight into the pension fund. And what legislators want to do is, within the next, you know, 8 weeks, they want to go in and say, let's just freeze that payment that is from the current fiscal year that transfers into the pension funds in around September. Let's just freeze that payment. They think it's going to be, you know, just over $1 billion. Let's freeze it. Let's hold the money there. If there are as deep cuts as they fear, then they might have some cash to draw on from that pile of money. There are other piles, of course, that they could look at as well. But the most popular idea right now is this idea that the Speaker has put out, Speaker Matt Ritter, of let's just freeze, they call it, the technical term for it is the volatility transfer. Basically think of it as a little bit extra cash that the state would otherwise be putting into this, into the pension fund. And so I think there's going to be a fight over the timing of that, over who exactly gets to start that process, and whether or not the governor is going to allow the legislature to sort of dictate the terms of the response to the Trump administration. We've seen from the press conferences that he's doing now that he wants to be more in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And he may very well say, you know, he does have some emergency powers unilaterally when the legislature is out of session, and he may be interested in using them.
Well, I think there's a fascinating dynamic. We got to go between Ritter and Lamont, but just quick up or down. Do you have to pass a law signed by the governor to freeze that money?
He would have to sign off on it.
Yeah,
yes.
He would. Okay.
He would.
Mike, great stuff as always. Again, Mike Cerulli, WTNH, and of course writes the tip sheet on Mondays at Capitol Report. If you want to check out his stuff, it's pretty easy. It's ctcapitalreport.com. Thanks as always.
Have a good one, Ron. Right. Thank you.